It's Here and Now. Best-selling author Dave Barry has just published a new book, and the former Miami Herald columnist is joining us to talk about it today. But it's not the first time that I have talked to him. There was this interview for a show called Treehouse Radio on WILL in Urbana, Illinois, that I did back in September of 1993.
What do you think of the Clinton administration?
I don't really think too much about it. To be honest, I'm pretty busy with booger jokes. No, I think it's performed pretty much the way most of our administrations have in recent years, you know, which is comically, which is good for me. You know, bad government is good humor columns.
Well, Dave Barry joins us now from WLRN in Miami to talk about his new book, You Can Date Boys When You're 40. Dave Barry, do you remember that interview?
Of course not. How old were you then?
I was 11.
Wow.
I actually did not know who you were. I just knew that you were somebody famous that was coming through town that I was going to be interviewing. I was very excited about interviewing the famous Dave Barry, but I really had never read any of his columns.
Where was I now?
This was in Urbana, Illinois. We did it at the airport.
Was this when I was down there for the Arcola Broom Festival?
I think that's right. I think that's exactly
right. I marched with the world-famous Lawn Ranger precision lawnmower and broom team.
See, and somehow I wasn't memorable as part of that experience, I guess.
Well, they had more beard than you did. I think that's probably the key.
That could be. Well, let me ask you this. How has comedy changed over the years since then until now?
Gotten to be a lot shorter. There's a huge emphasis on being able to tweet things. So I think more and more people sort of focus on that, on, you know, what is a quick gag that I can come up with? You know, how can I show my internet hipness? There's a lot of that. I don't think it's necessarily bad, you know, because there's a lot of really funny stuff on Twitter. It's just – it's sort of – I think it's taken away a little bit from the, focusing on longer forms of humor. But, you know, that's what happens.
Do you think you're writing for the same people or are you writing for a different group of people now?
I never really write for an audience. I mean, I want people to laugh. I want people to think it's funny. But I basically write what I think's funny and what would amuse me. And I think you do better in the end if you stick to that approach than if you keep trying to adapt to whatever seems to be popular. So I can't remember the question, but that's my answer to it.
Well, okay. Let's talk about something that's popular that you do talk about in the book. You talk about Justin Bieber.
Well, I have a daughter. She's 14 now. But last year when she was 13, I took her and her friend Stella to a Justin Bieber concert. That was one of the louder experiences. I have been through a hurricane. Actually was in Hurricane Andrew, went right over me. And that, I thought, was the loudest thing I would ever hear. But it really does not compare with just the girl sitting right – I don't know who she was. A girl sitting – maybe, you know, 15, 16-year-old girl sitting to my right. Just her alone was making more noise than all of Hurricane Andrew. Mostly she was going, I love you, right into my ear. Not me. She doesn't love me at all. She loves Justin Bieber very much. So anyway, yeah, I did do that. And then the only thing that made it worth going to was – both Stella and Sophie had their bat mitzvahs, and they brought invitations for Justin Bieber. And they, near the end, they fought their way through this mob of screaming, you know, adolescent girls, and threw their bat mitzvah invitations. Of course, I don't think he ever saw them. He certainly didn't come to Sophie's bat mitzvah.
That's too bad.
I know
you missed.
Yeah, his loss. It was a nice one.
Well, so I asked you about President Clinton back in 1993. Do you have any thoughts on the Obama administration?
Well, I think, you know, to me, it's been a weird thing because they've definitely had their problems, especially with, you know, I'm sure it's tragic for a lot of people, but I thought it was pretty funny, the rollout of the, you know, who would thought that people in Washington, D.C. would have trouble with technologically sophisticated complex. It becomes a big surprise to everyone, but there's a reluctance to make fun of the Obama administration.
By comedians in general, you think?
Yeah. And they'll admit it. They kind of hold back. They're afraid they'll be called racist, or generally the comedians tend to be more liberal oriented, and they were happier making fun of George W. Bush than they were. You know, I think they secretly kind of root for there to be another white guy Republican in office so they can go back to just, you know, every night taking a whack.
Well, it seems like it's harder for them to make fun of him, and also because he doesn't have a Texas accent. You know, he's a little flatter.
Kind of a cool guy. He's pretty, you know, he seems reasonably sophisticated guy. You can tell he's got a good sense of humor. So it's partly that, but he's just partly this. hey, we're not going to make fun of him. Mm. You know, just kind of the rule.
Now, you also have a section in the book about grammar and how people should use it. And I just want to read one of them. This is people often ask the question, what about affect and effect, A-F-F-E-C-T and E-F-F-E-C-T? You say the answer is you should never use either of these words.
Yeah, this essay is based on a character I used to do when I wrote my newspaper column called Ask Mr. Language Person. And Mr. Language Person was a language expert who every single thing he said was incredibly wrong, always. Like in this chapter, I'd be like, why you should not end sentences with a preposition? And then the answer is because Hitler ended sentences with prepositions. But what used to get me about that when I wrote those columns is the mail I would get. And they would often be from English teachers, but sometimes from others, people who I call the humor impaired.
We get those too.
Didn't seem to notice that I was kidding. And here would be a column with literally 200 incorrect statements or ungrammatical sentences, and they'd have circled two of them. You know, before you call yourself an authority, Mr. Barry, perhaps you should check your own grammar.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, you dedicate this book to your son and daughter, which reminds me of another question that I asked you back in 1993 about your Miami Herald column. Let's take a listen to this.
Do you mention your family in any of your columns?
I have no family. I just make all that up. Yeah, I do. I do mention my wife and son, but I'm careful about how I do it. With my son, Rob, we agreed that I would never write a column about him if he didn't get to read it first, so he always reads the column, and if he's uncomfortable with it, then I'll change it or drop it. And my wife, Beth, reads all my columns. She edits me before it goes to the newspaper, so there's no way I can say anything embarrassing about her.
Dave Barry, is that still the way it works?
Pretty much. Except I am no longer married to Beth. I'm married to a woman named Michelle Kaufman, who's a sports writer, and she doesn't read my stuff, except every now and then when I think it's – and this is pretty much my normal state of writing is despair. I'm like, oh, my God, this is horrible. This is the worst thing I've ever written. Nobody's going to laugh at this. You could read this at a funeral. It's so bad, you know. And I'll show it to Michelle. She'll say, no, that's funny. You know, she's very good at – anyway. So, and Rob is now a grown man. He's 33 years old, and he's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. So he can handle his own self. Sophie, my daughter, I still do write about. And I have still the same basic rule, which is that if I'm going to write about her, she'll know it. I'll let her read it. She knows what I'm going to say. She read the Justin Bieber essay. But the thing is, as I point out to Sophie, if you don't want to go to college, I mean, then I can stop writing about you anytime. But if you want to go to college, I'm going to need, daddy needs material. And, you know, you might sometimes be, you know, she gets that. She totally gets that. Both my kids always kind of knew what I did and secretly, I think, kind of liked it, enjoyed it. You know, maybe there were a few awkward moments. Like, I did pick my son up at middle school once in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, which was a tough one for him. But even then, he got over it. He adjusted.
Takes some time, though.
Yeah, therapy is, you know, and he was fine.
Well, Dave Barry, the book is called You Can Date Boys When You're 40. It was great talking to you again. And let's set a date for, what, 21 years from now?
Yeah. You have not changed a bit. I'm just waiting.
Dave Barry, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So, Jeremy, you're like the Nixon Library. Your tapes have finally been released.
They're opening up.
Where can we hear more of Treehouse Radio?
Well, sadly, we have a tape at hereandnow.org. Thanks to Sean Powers at WILL in Urbana for helping us find that and forever cementing 11-year-old Jeremy.
Well, and he's right. You haven't changed a bit. It was just a little while ago. From NPR and WBR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.